welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy throughout this time. Thank you for tuning in because this episode we have a special guest who is a clinical social worker with a private practice who works as a therapist to support social and emotional issues. Introducing Claudia Shapiro. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. So can you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. So I, as you said, I'm a clinical social worker. So I have my master's in social work, but I work as a therapist or a counselor for kids, teenagers, families to help people all sorts of different issues, including anxiety and stress.
That's awesome. So how long have you been doing this?
Good question. I think so. I have been out of school now for like 6 years. So,
oh, wow.
Time flies.
That's so cool. All right. So I'm just going to get into some really juicy questions that the audience would like to hear. I asked this question on a Facebook group I'm a part of. It's like 20,000 parents who have peanut allergies, their children have peanut allergies. And I asked them this question. I said, if your child goes to college and they kiss a boy or girl, what are you going to do? Like, what do you do? Do you ask them beforehand or do they just go in for it and just hope for the best?
Oh my gosh, that is such an important question. It is a scary thing to think about. I know it's really scary for parents to think about because, I mean, parents might be scared to think about their teenager or young adult kids kissing anyways, even if allergies aren't an issue. So add in the allergies and the horror stories that we see in the news every couple of years about, somebody ate a PB&J and then kissed somebody and wound up in the emergency room. I think it is definitely an awkward thing to think about and bring up. It's not exactly the most, like, you know, if you're flirty, romantic in the mood to pause and say, have you had nuts or whatever today?
Yeah. It
could kill the mood or just feel really uncomfortable. But I think that it doesn't hurt to practice just kind of having the conversation ahead of time. If you know you like somebody, you're talking to them, you might mention, you know, if you're talking about favorite foods or where you like to go, you might just casually mention that you have an allergy. And, you know, if things are flirty, you might say like, oh, by the way, in case you're thinking of trying to kiss me, lay off the peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually, I received like basically what you said, I've received like 70 amount of like positive responses on this post, and they've been kind of saying what you said. They're saying, they just say, be careful, just let them know in a funny way, like to not make it awkward. And then some of them were like, oh yeah, it's kind of awkward to talk to it about with your children at such a young age. And they probably are going to like tune out because they're going to be like, ew, I don't want to talk about this. And it's just a very necessary topic. It might be really, really strange and weird, but it's so necessary because you never know what can happen. You never know when it could happen. So what would you do in that situation? I'm just curious what you would do.
You know, that is a really good question because I don't know if you know this about me, but I have severe food allergies. So I'm allergic to peanuts and peanut butter and stay away from all nuts and have my whole life. So I'm older. And so I was kind of in this generation where there weren't a whole lot of people my age also with allergies. I was like the only one, didn't have the internet or communities to really, you know, ask these questions, post these questions. So I have found myself in that situation before. And actually, I did find myself in a situation where in college, someone I was dating had eaten a pecan pie earlier in the day, and there was a little smooch, and my mouth started to itch, and it was really scary, and it kind of took a little time to put the dots together, and so that really clued me in on how serious it is and how even a little bit hours before could lead to a reaction. Thankfully, it wasn't a severe reaction. But since then, that's something that, you know, I just keep in mind, and kind of like you said, I like to use humor to try to diffuse the awkwardness and just kind of lay it out ahead of time. Like, hey, if there's somebody that I would be receptive to them trying to go in for the kiss, I might just say, like, heads up, I've got an allergy. Avoid eating nuts before you see me.
Yeah. Did you actually have to take the EpiPen or go to the ER afterwards?
I went to the ER, did not take the EpiPen, but a lot of Benadryl and ended up being fine. But
okay, that's good. That's good. How allergic are you, though? Are you, like, extremely or just kind of?
Yeah. So, I mean, I carry an EpiPen. I think I'm way overdue to go to the allergist. So there's a plug to make sure you're consistently checking in with your allergist, because sometimes things do change. And again, I was very little when I got diagnosed, and so things have changed a whole lot. But I carry the EpiPen, and yep, a little bit can go a long way. So
yeah, that's awesome. Kind of staying on that college route, because there's a lot of things that need to be discussed when you're away from home, away from your parents, and you're just kind of on your own. And do you think that when you go to a party, maybe drinking, underage drinking can happen? And is there like an allergy relation to that any way?
I am so glad you brought this up, because this is something that I think is really important to talk about. You know, when it comes to food allergies, every single stage, every developmental stage or age of the child leads to different stuff you kind of have to deal with. And so teenager years and the college years comes with a lot of extra stuff, like what to do with a kiss or what to do when there's alcohol around. Because while I don't condone underage drinking, I know it occasionally happens. And not all alcohol is labeled. There just aren't ingredient labels like there are with food. And I think some brands, some types of drinks are moving in that direction, but it can make it really tricky. And especially when you're young and kind of everyone's doing it, there's peer pressure, wanting to try things. It's important to kind of do the research and know what you can have. So I do know that some gins use nuts to flavor. And so that, again, it's not like,
I didn't know that.
Right? It's not, thankfully, you know, as an allergic kid or adult now myself, I have had my phases where I've had a lot of anxiety and done my research. And thankfully, this was something that I learned, but I think it is important to pass along. So gins can use nuts in their flavoring. And then these days, with the kind of craft fancy flavored beers being super popular, I think it's really important to know kind of what you're getting. And so if you wouldn't be going to a brewery or something unless you were over 21, but I found that at breweries, usually it's pretty easy to ask, like, what ingredients, you know, did you use any nuts to flavor this? Are there beers I should avoid? And then in terms of just in general, you know, again, don't condone underage drinking, but if you know, like, you've had a Bud Light or something, or a, like, spiked seltzer thing, you know, I think that it is important to stick with the things you know are safe for you, the same way you might with snacks. And it's risky, I think, always going in, whether you have allergies or not, going into, like, the mystery punch bowl at a party. So I think this gives an extra incentive to avoid that, so you really know what you're eating or drinking.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so interesting, because I didn't even know that alcohol could have nuts in it. I honestly had no clue. Who would have thought? But kind of stepping back from the teenage college area, kids, younger kids in school, and I'm actually curious about this. So you see in the movies and read books about children getting bullied by the popular, you know, quote unquote popular guy, and the person who's a victim to the bully usually is different. And like different, like probably like a nerd, quote unquote, or like the bullies holding the books up in the air and they're trying to reach it. All those things in the movies, right, about bullying. And there's this whole scene made up in your mind, but okay, yeah, this is what bullying is. But in reality, in my school, we used to watch all these like anti-bullying videos and everything like that. But I'm actually really curious about food allergies, right? Like, do people get bullied by the different cafeteria tables that they have, peanut table, regular table? Do they get bullied in any way? How do you think they feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, it really depends. I think that people that are bullies will kind of find whatever they can to use against people that they maybe perceive as, like, good victims to pick on, unfortunately. And I think one of the things that's really hard about being a kid, and especially a teenager in general, is that anything that sets you apart, anything that makes you different, is really, really hard to deal with. There's this pressure to be cool and fit in. And so if you have something unique about you, and it also happens to be something that could put you in danger in situations that are perfectly safe for other kids, that does make you kind of stand out. And it's an easy thing for somebody to pick on you about. So I think it does happen. I don't know if it necessarily happens this as much or as intensely as we see in the movies. I get frustrated because a lot of times whenever there is somebody with a food allergy or a food allergy in a movie or a TV show, they're like very dweeby, very nerdy. I'm like, you know, that they may be somebody that would be picked on whether they have a food allergy or not. And so that's not real. I mean, they're all different types of people with all different interests who happen to have food allergies. And I think that it's hard. Anything that is different, kids might pick on. But I also think that, thankfully, food allergies are, I mean, it's not thankfully that they're so much more common, but I think that everybody knows somebody, or most people know somebody these days with a food allergy. And so that can really help kids to develop that empathy. And I found that really just having one or two friends that get it and can step in is huge and life-saving.
Yeah, I really concur with what you just said. I believe that this generation, we have more awareness to it. It's not good that there's so many more, but there's just more awareness and acceptance because, as you stated, everybody knows at least one person who has it. And it's honestly, it's very tough. It's really tough for young children because they don't really know what's going on, right? They need their parents with them all the time. And it's just really tough on everybody, all ages. So what are some coping strategies or coping mechanisms that can help young children who are dealing with this?
I'm so glad you asked, because there are really a lot of things you can do. First of all, I would say for parents to really just start young, I'll back up. First, parents really need to educate themselves. Research has shown that the more parents know, the more confident they feel caring for their child. And so then the parents can feel confident that they're passing along correct information and teaching their child what they need to stay safe. And then start young, really pay attention to kind of what is going on both in your child's allergy life, like were they just diagnosed? Are they just starting school? And then also how that may impact the normal like life stuff going on, learning to talk and having that little bit more agency, going to school without your parents right there. And as you move up again, moving into adolescence and early adulthood, like there's a lot more responsibilities. So I would say lots of information, and really just practicing. So coming up with little things that your child can say in response to certain situations and practicing. So young kids really learn through playing. It's like their language. It's how they figure stuff out, make sense of the world. I mean, you know, when you're little, you might see your mom cooking in the kitchen, so then you like play with your toy food, or you might act out things with dolls that you've seen happen. And so really just encouraging the practice, making it fun, so it's not just a like this is serious business time, but also that while we're keeping it fun, this is important stuff you need to know. So just kind of like playing restaurant if your child is getting to the age where they might start ordering food themselves and letting a waiter or waitress know, oh, by the way, I have an allergy. Really kind of practicing, what if you see a friend who's eating peanut butter at lunch, but you really want to play with them? What could you say? You know, you can say, hey, I'd love to play with you, but you need to wash your hands first. Thankfully, I mean, again, not thankfully that we're dealing with coronavirus, but thankfully hand washing is also becoming much more popular these days.
More normalized.
Totally. And so I think a lot of it is really practicing ahead of time, scripts, lines, things you can say, using humor if that's your style or personality, and then also kind of having your definitely in case of emergency, like, EpiPen plan, and then you're kind of in case of an uncomfortable or stressful situation where it's not an emergency, you don't need the EpiPen, but maybe you're feeling really, really anxious because of the social situation.
Yes, 100%. I definitely agree. Just education, playing. What about art, like expressing your, I've seen this on the internet, like expressing your feelings with the painting and the colors. How does that work?
Absolutely. Well, art is a great way to express all sorts of feelings, big feelings. And again, while children are learning to like how to be people and learning what their allergy means, they're also learning about feelings. And so it's really important for parents to remember that their child may not have the language to be able to say, I'm anxious, I'm scared, I'm worried that I ate something I was allergic to, or I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to eat any of the food at grandma's house or whatever. Like, so to really pay attention for parents, pay attention to your child's feelings and label them as much as you can. And then, yeah, have these outlets, creative outlets where they, it's less about like identifying what the feeling is and more just getting it out. Another thing that I think is wonderful is coming up with a story. So especially folks, unfortunately, the way that food allergies are diagnosed or found out is often, usually, really, really traumatic. It's not like a, oh, while we're just all feeling healthy and well, let's get an allergy test. It's like always following a big episode. And that's super scary for parents and kids. And I think a lot of times, one of the scariest part about having a food allergy is that you have had a scary episode with a food allergy already, very likely. And so working together to, you know, your child can draw pictures and kind of write like a storybook together. So then you can read it and there may be the part where you ate something you're allergic to, you use the EpiPen or go to the hospital, but then it winds up being okay at the end. And now we are cautious. Now we read ingredients and that sort of thing.
Yes. And my 5-year-old brother, he actually took a peanut challenge 2 months ago, I think. I talked about this in my other podcast episodes, but I just wanted to let you know that he actually had a peanut challenge, and I actually interviewed him, and I said, okay, so how are you feeling before the challenge? And he said, what if I die? And it really broke my heart. Everyone, I mean, all the responses I've received, they're all just like, wow, this is insane. This is actually brings a lot of awareness to how children are feeling. Like they're feeling actually scared because they can't eat a certain food. It can't, their body cannot just digest a certain food, you know, and if they can't, they could die, which is just, this is a reality, right? So I just wanted to be like unfiltered about that because it's just really, really important to let people know, especially people in restaurants, like restaurant owners and they, and you know, Indian food or Thai food or Chinese food, all these different kinds of foods, they incorporate a lot of nuts in them, which is just obviously Mexican food and Italian food are safe foods for nuts for us. But these types of restaurants, I feel like they need to be more aware and safer, right? Their number one priority is to keep people safe. So I just feel like that should be mentioned because people are just really scared.
Absolutely. It's so scary. And there are so many big feelings. And again, little kids are learning what big feelings are, what they feel like, what they look like, what you can do to feel better. At the same time, they are kind of encouraged to be afraid of this happening. And at the same time, it's kind of the age that kids, whether they have allergies or not, maybe do know somebody who died or a pet died. And so they're learning about what it means to die or have somebody die at the same time that they're worried they might die. And it is a lot. And so I really like can't emphasize enough how important the feeling part of it all is.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like a disease, don't you think? It's just, it's too much for a 5-year-old child to think that, you know? But kind of going back to what you said about education, right? I want to go into more depth and how can a young child be educated on this topic?
Yeah, another great question. I think that, you know, everybody learns in different ways, and children especially. So it is important to figure out kind of what works for your child and your family at the age they're at. So again, I would encourage parents to really do their own research from reliable sources. So from their allergist or physicians, from like peer-reviewed articles and data. And you know, of course, there are a lot of blogs out there and Facebook pages and forums and stuff. And just those can be really helpful and supportive, but also to kind of know that sometimes you may be getting somebody's opinion or what worked for one family, and it's not necessarily the fact across the board. So for parents to do their research and be a little picky about it. And then again, to really, I think, figure out what is most important for my child to know right now. So when they're very young, first diagnosed, it's going to be just the basics. You can't eat this. You need to stay away. And again, I think that some level of anxiety is really helpful. If you weren't anxious, we'd just be eating cookies left and right, not reading ingredients, and probably like everybody at the ER would know us because we're there all the time. So a little anxiety does really help. But again, you don't want to like put too much fear into your young child. And so I think books, there are a lot of great children's books out there about allergies, songs, just conversations. And again, kind of balancing it out with what you need to do and what you need to know, and then checking in about how they feel and how they can take care of their feelings too.
Yes, this is very helpful tips for parents and even kids who are listening right now. So thank you for that. And I want to take a little break and do something fun. So basically, I just started this little segment I do. It's called the Fast 5 Questions. So I'm not sure if you heard of like Ellen's Burning Questions or Vogue's 73 Questions or any of those, just like fast questions. I'm just going to do 5 of them. And they're just basic, simple questions that can be very beneficial for people who are listening. Okay. So are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Okay, cool. Number one. So we kind of spoke about this before, but at a party, if someone urges you to drink something you haven't drank before, eat something that you're not familiar with, what would you do?
I'd say no thanks. kind of keep it simple at first. If they pressure me, I might, one of my lines is like, I love eating, but I, you know, want to enjoy it. And I'm going to worry if I don't know that I'm not allergic. Or I think just saying no thanks, I might be allergic sometimes, gets them off your back.
Awesome. Okay. What are 3 tips you can give to people with food allergies, being a person who deals with food allergies yourself?
Okay. Just 3 tips. Wow.
It's a lot to think of on the top of your head, I know.
It is. Very specific. So I think really, really important to have those go-to snacks that you know are safe for you, that you can maybe keep on you if you're going to an event. Honestly, eating before you go places, unless you're going to like a restaurant that you know, or a friend that you really trust and know that they're well aware of the allergy. And even then, you still might have a little bite. But I really encourage eating before you go somewhere, because can't speak for everyone, but I know for myself, when I am hungry, sometimes I get a little hangry.
Same.
It makes it so much harder to stay calm and reasonable, and to understand that other people that don't deal with food allergies don't just get it. And so it's easier to not take it personally. Finally, I think, again, just really finding some friends who you do really trust. I think friends who you know understand what you're going through, so that they can really be there for you, and you can have your social time where you're not, you know, it's still on your radar, but it's not dominating your attention.
Awesome. Okay. 3rd question. As a person who is victim to food allergies, what is the go-to fast food place or go-to that's allergy safe?
Oh my gosh.
I should specify that is nut safe.
Yes.
Because.
Yeah. So I go to a lot of like local restaurants around me, but usually, like you said earlier, Italian, Mexican food are always safe bets. Fast food, I do try to steer clear of fast food, but pizza is, I have a hard time saying no to pizza, and it's usually pretty safe, but I do find myself sometimes asking if it's a new place that I haven't been before, just saying, this may sound wild because I doubt you use nuts, but like, I feel better if I just let you know.
Yes, 100%. I've actually heard that Chick-fil-A is something that's allergy-free. Have you heard of that?
You know, I know that in the past they've used peanut oil, and so I've always stayed away from them, but I've heard mixed things. I think there's some people that eat it, have no problem, love it. It's actually like a very allergy-friendly place, and other people who maybe have had minor like mouth itching reactions and just decide it's not for them. But I think really what it comes down to is what you're comfortable with and like what tastes good to you.
Yes. Okay. So how do you come across clear to the waiter or waitress? Because I know it's very difficult to, especially if you're across the country or in a different country. How do you come across clear?
Yeah, that is a great question. I think, again, going back to practicing can really, really help. Because I think the more you practice, the more confident you are. And if you do kind of have like a script prepared, then it becomes a habit. It's at first it can be so awkward, and it especially can be awkward if you're out to dinner with people that, you know, maybe you don't know very well, and you feel like you're always kind of doing your same spiel again. But I think that practice really does make, you know, perfect, or it close to it. And so really just practicing, feeling confident. If you feel like the waiter or waitress doesn't understand you, you can always ask to speak to the manager. Or again, you know, there have been times where I feel like I've come across very clear and expressed what I can't eat, and it comes. And usually if there's a little doubt in my mind, it's okay to just change your mind and be like, you know, I'm not comfortable eating this. I'm going to get something I know I can eat on the way home, my friend can take this home as leftovers, whatever. I think that sometimes we feel this pressure to, like, we have to eat. Eating is such a social thing, and there's so much pressure. I mean, I know I'm getting off topic, but, like, grandmas and people who don't understand and are like, just a little bit won't hurt, or come on, eat it. And just to be able to say, I really appreciate it, but I'm not comfortable. And
yeah, definitely. Okay, so last question, step-by-step procedure when going through an allergic reaction.
Okay. Thankfully, it has been a little while for me.
Oh, but wow.
Good. I think, you know, beforehand, do all your reading of ingredients and talking to people. But if you do find yourself in that situation, I think even though your body is telling you everything is an emergency, I think to kind of stop and take those deep breaths or try to take those deep breaths. If you can't, then you know it's an emergency and, like, skip this step. But yeah. I think it is important to kind of check in with yourself and assess, like, how am I feeling? Is this a real emergency, or is this maybe more anxiety stuff? Because sometimes if you worry that there's something you're allergic to, your mouth will start to tingle, or you might start to feel hot, even though everything's fine, it's just kind of in your head. So check in with yourself, and then again, you know, if you have Benadryl on you, go for it, EpiPen, call 911, have somebody there with you that you're safe with, and trust that the EpiPen is there to help, and the doctors will be able to help too. But yeah, I think trying to stay calm, but also it's hard. And maybe, you know, again, we can't always have somebody there with us who's really understanding, but if you can, not like we go into anything thinking I'm gonna have an allergic reaction, so I'll make sure so-and-so's with me, but having somebody who can stay calm and, like, say everything that needs to be said really helps.
Yes, great. You survived the fast five questions.
Yes, I apologize, I was not that fast.
Great information. Awesome. All right. So I'm going to move forward to the more we established, like, hardship psychologically, right? And so, which is great, because it's awesome to, we need more people to know about this. So now let's weave into the benefits psychologically of having food allergies. So the pros and the positives about it. So hopefully people listening to this could gain some positivity, stepping back away and just about having food allergies and how they can be very beneficial, right? Maybe learning how to cook or being able to just be unique in their own way, right? Different doesn't have to be a bad thing. Different is actually, it's a good thing, I think. I believe it's a really good thing. So what do you think can be pros or positives about having food allergies mentally?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think that being different is a really good thing in the long run. It feels really, really hard when you're a teenager, but, you know, when you grow up, it's not helpful to be just the same as everyone else, have the same ideas, same experience. It, like, that's the beauty of life and working and meeting other people, is everybody brings something new to the table. So really, finding the value in that, what makes you different and what makes you and unique. And so, you know, this is a wonderful example. I'm pretty sure that if you hadn't had allergies, you wouldn't be doing this podcast, which is so amazing and helpful to so many people. I wouldn't be able to be on this podcast either. And I think that for me, growing up with a food allergy and being kind of the only one, not having a lot of people who really understood it, it really taught me how much I wanted to help other people, and that I feel very grateful that I got to grow up and be somebody who helps other people, and especially helping folks with food allergies. And again, I think that it can be so hard, but it really forces you to learn how to advocate for yourself at a young age, which is so important. And again, really hard, but really important in the long run. I mean, it's hard. And when your life is on the line, potentially, it makes it that more necessary to be able to say, hey, nope, this doesn't work for me. Next.
Yeah. Learning how to say no is just a big part of growing up as a teenager, right? Like, you could, you know, it's really, I mean, people who say yes all the time, it's not necessarily a good thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing either. But it's just like learning how to say no, whether that's about food allergies or about other practices that you don't really necessarily want to do. And so also what you mentioned about me having the podcast, and I wouldn't be able to do this or wouldn't be able to make connections with people like you. And it's actually helpful not only to everyone else, but to me too, because I learn so many things and I educate myself and I can educate other people and I can actually help them, which is such an amazing thing I can do. Like I could never believe that I can actually do something like that with my food allergies, you know? So just having food allergies and helping other people with this is just it's a blessing. Honestly, it's a blessing in disguise. But yeah, so as a high schooler, I'm a sophomore, so I've dealt with sitting at the allergy table while all my friends are over there and the other table not learning how to, you know, they're just there laughing, smiling, talking, and I feel really lonely, right? And I also feel angry, right? Like, I can't sit with my friends because during an only half-hour break that we have in school, like in elementary school, right, the entire day watching my friends laugh at jokes because my body couldn't handle eating a peanut. Right? Because everyone back then, well, not back then, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, 5 years ago, used to have like a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or some Reese's peanut butter cups for like snacks and everything. And right now, as a high schooler, I'm not sitting at the allergy table anymore, but children are still, you know, children in elementary school are still sitting there. And I think that it makes you feel different. It makes you feel like you're someone else, which you aren't. Like, makes you feel like an outsider, right? Which is not what people really want, you know? You don't want to feel like that at all. But I'm sure that many teenagers can relate to this but it's also just having to always ask the waiter about certain, you know, like, oh, does this have nuts in it? And it's honestly kind of embarrassing because people are just like, what is she doing? Like, I have to say, like, does this have nuts in it? Like, are you sure? Can you double check? I can die from this. All these different kinds of things. And they're like, what are you talking about? So it can be really embarrassing sometimes. And it shouldn't be, but I think it does. So how do you think that people could change their mindset about having allergies as a teenager?
Yeah, it's really hard. And this does kind of go back to like the bullying piece and how hard it is to have anything different and really feeling lonely, left out, or just embarrassed, awkward, having to ask these questions. I remember when I was like little or younger and went to summer camp, there were some, you know, girls that for whatever reason decided they didn't like me. And when I was like, look, like, what's the problem with me? And they said, you're always asking, does this have nuts in it? That's so annoying. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help it, you know, and just kind of trying. I think part of being a teenager, whether you have allergies or not, is learning a lot about friends, the type of friends you want, the type of people that maybe really fun to spend time with, but aren't trustworthy. And yes. So it can really, really hurt when somebody rejects you or is unkind or, you know, makes fun of you for something. But to recognize those aren't the type of friends you want, because I have other friends that, you know, I maybe am invited or was invited to go to their family's house for dinner and I eat before just in case, and I show up and they're like, we've read all the ingredients, but we've saved all the packaging so you can read them yourself because we know that you need to do that. And really, there are people and friends who will step up for you and understand. And even, you know, I've had friends that as an adult, like, we ordered something for the table, told them, you know, hold the nuts, and it came out like topped with peanuts. And I'm, of course, like, okay, I don't want to eat anything now. I'm not safe. And one of my friends like storms to the kitchen to be like, are you kidding me? Come on, we told you. And so finding friends like that, even in as far back as elementary school, I had a good friend who was just a very picky eater. She like only wanted to eat peanut butter sandwiches every single day. And we were friends. And so I didn't get to sit next to her. And she knew that that was scary. But every single day after lunch, before recess, she'd wash her hands and we'd get to play together. And so, again, I think it's hard and it does take practice. And sometimes it just takes, I think, kind of some grief, like to allow yourself to be really mad or sad, angry, frustrated, all of those big feelings, and to just kind of, I mean, not live your life at a pity party, but to just give, you know, you deserve a chance to be like, are you kidding me? Come on, this isn't fair. Why do I have to deal with this? Other kids just like go and take a bite of this and a bite of that and don't have to ask what's in it, and I feel left out. And it's okay to feel that way. I think we sometimes get in trouble when we think that we always have to be happy and relaxed and fun and go with the flow, because I think to be able to get there, you kind of have to go through the process of like,
yeah, it's okay to be sad. Like, it's not only about food allergies, but maybe about anything else. Like, it's okay to feel this way, you know? It's like the saying I've heard a billion times. I'm sure everyone heard it. It's like, you can't appreciate the good days without having the bad ones, right? Have you actually had someone you knew grow out of their food allergies and they appreciate that so much more?
You know, I don't know. I know I grew out of an allergy, so that's
cool. Oh, you grew out of an allergy.
I had like a, I was kind of allergic to eggs. It was like an itchy mouth. It wasn't anaphylaxis, but it was a nuisance and it made me not want to eat eggs. Like any cookies or anything I ate that had to be very well done. That's not a problem anymore. So that's a huge relief.
That's
but then
great.
I also have friends who, as adults, have all of a sudden developed food allergies or found out they're allergic to things, and that's a whole nother thing. And for me, that made me feel so grateful that this is something that I have always been dealing with, because I don't have to give up things I like to eat. I have lived my life not missing peanut butter. People are like, oh my gosh, you've never had a Reese's? I'm like, nope. And I don't know what I'm missing, and it's fine.
Yeah, actually, it's actually easier for you because they actually have to give up. Like, imagine being allergic to my favorite. Like, I love chocolate, and so imagine having to give up chocolate for the rest of your life, and it's insane. It's insane. But on that same note about teenagers and young adults, just a, like last few questions, I wanted to bring up a stereotype or myth about food allergies and mental health. So in the 21st century, so many kids have social medias that takes up through their minds, and Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok are the main ones I use. They're obviously like really great to keep in touch with your friends or family. And I feel like I'm the sponsor for this, for them or something. But
not an ad.
Not an ad, guys. No pre-brand deals. But they do cause a lot of stress and anxiety because of these celebrities and models who are like 5'10" with perfect bodies, perfect faces. And a lot of that leads to stress and anxiety and a depletion of self-confidence and self-worth. And some people even resort to eating disorders because they want to have their bodies like Kendall Jenner, like Gigi Hadid, or any of these big time models. And I just wanted to debunk or bring up this myth because I'm not sure myself if it's related to food allergies or not. So what do you think? Is food allergies related to eating disorders at all, or are they just completely different things?
I mean, I think that they can be completely different things, but I think they also can go together. And so I think in a lot of different ways, sometimes, you know, you might have perfectly healthy eating habits and body image, but you turn down food or you're not eating meals out at restaurants because you don't feel comfortable. And I think sometimes people might assume that there's something going on when really there isn't. You're just staying safe from your allergy. That being said, I think also with food allergies, you really do have to think so much and pay so much attention to food, what you're eating, how it's prepared, where it came from. Is it like manufactured in a facility with stuff you can't eat? And so because paying so much attention to food is a like huge part of our lives with food allergies, I think that sometimes, and I don't have any research on this, so I'm just going off my own thought process. Yeah. But I think that when you do pay that much attention to food, it does kind of make it maybe easier in some ways to, like, for that focus to become more of an obsession or a coping strategy, an unhealthy coping strategy, or even become disordered. And then, of course, the body image issues can ramp that up. I also think that something, you know, when you have an allergy, it's a really, really good, valid excuse to get out of eating stuff at times. And so I think that that is kind of a scary part, that somebody who has food allergies and also might be struggling with an eating disorder or disordered eating, people might not notice, because it's just, oh, they're just staying safe. They're just not eating something they might be allergic to, when in fact it's more like, I'm not eating anything.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think it can be somewhat related at times, because having a food allergy could possibly result in an eating disorder because you just don't feel comfortable eating all these different kinds of things. But I feel like there are also different reasons, right? You're eating disorder, you're not eating because you want a perfect body or you want to be healthier, but food allergies is because you're scared. So there's obviously like some different kind of thinking process you can have with that. So yes. So kind of just to wrap this up a little bit, I want you to like share a story. Just everyone loves listening to stories. So do you have a story about a time where something peaceful happened to somebody, or an allergic reaction that turned out to be a blessing in disguise, or any story you would like to share related to food allergies?
Oh, that is great. I'm like, oh, I love telling stories. I feel like I have so many. So the one that it kind of is hard not to come straight to mind is that I was so anxious and careful as a child that I really didn't have a bad allergic reaction, which was really lucky. When I was little, got diagnosed, and then I lived my whole childhood reaction free. And then I graduated from high school, and that day we had a little graduation party, and my mom had gotten some food, and I totally trusted my mom, had no reason to, you know, go back and read labels behind her, but she had bought from a grocery store like prepackaged little sandwiches that it did not say in bold at the bottom walnuts, but there were walnuts in this long, like tiny, tiny font list of ingredients. And so of course I came in there and I'm like, it's my party. I'm going to eat two of everything. Here we go. And started to get the itchy mouth, not feeling very well. Meanwhile, like people are showing up to come celebrate me. And I'm like lying on the couch. We're wondering, do we need an EpiPen? Do we need to call paramedics? And eventually we did. Did call the ambulance, and so it turned out to be a wild party in a very different way, because the day of my high school graduation, I got to go to the emergency room and all was fine. And so,
Did you take the EpiPen?
So I did not take the EpiPen.
Oh, okay. So what did they give you?
They basically gave me the EpiPen when we were in the ambulance. So I was scared to use the EpiPen and didn't want to, but because I recovered from that, it really helped me to know that, like, this is why I have the EpiPen. This is why I don't leave the house without it. and it's there in case of an emergency, which that was. And so I think to kind of try to remember that it's scary. Nobody wants to use it, but it is there to help. And then, you know, it was all okay. I was a little woozy. Had a lot of Benadryl, like the weird sensations, but it ended up being fine and a pretty good story.
Yeah, definitely. Very interesting story. So you survived all of high school without an allergic reaction.
I did.
That's some kudos to you, because that's amazing.
Thank you. It's hard, but you know, and I've also survived life since, and it hasn't been lived in a bubble. And so, you know, if I know we've talked about a lot of really important things, but one thing that I would really, really like for kids and their parents to walk away from is like, I am a grown adult who's lived my life with food allergies and survived. And it's not because I've, you know, locked myself up. I've gone to school, I went to college, I've gone to parties and dinners out and traveled, and it's possible.
Yes, definitely. It's just great to share that, you know, you don't have to live in a bubble. You can actually live your life somewhat freely. You don't have to be super, super anxious, which is great. So last question, what are some last words of wisdom you can share to anxious parents having children with food allergies?
Oh man. I think that to know, especially with young children, they take their cues from you. And so for parents to really take care of their own anxiety, sometimes that, especially if you're somebody who's maybe experienced anxiety or depression prior to the whole food allergy diagnosis, this is going to add even more. If you're somebody who's never had to deal with anxiety before, this might be the first time. So in either case, really coming up with your own coping strategies, getting therapy if it would be helpful, support groups, regular exercise, meditation, all those good self-care strategies. And know that when things get stressful, your child is going to look to you. And if, of course, you may be totally freaked out, but if you can act like you've got things under control, I think that will help them a little more. And then again, I think really just to check in with your child, label their feelings, validate it, let them know you're afraid to eat this. That makes total sense. You don't have to. Why don't we eat like the chicken nuggets that you always have that you know are safe or whatever?
Yes, great words, great words. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. You're so full of wisdom, and you can really educate so many people who are listening, and they're going to really benefit from this. So kind. Thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really inspired by what you're doing, and it's really exciting to see like this generation of food allergic kids and teenagers like really making a difference.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening to Less Panic, More Peace. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and peace out.